Good morning. We greet you all in Jesus' name this morning, and glad to see you all here. It's good to be in the house of God again to worship the Lord and to understand the way in which we should live. We have a lot to learn yet. It seems like the people of God have always been that way. They have a lot to learn about living righteously. And so in an effort to help us do that, we want to instruct you this morning in what God has led us to. One of the things that we, as humans, thrive on, and we have a lot to do, but what we thrive on is anticipation. We love to anticipate, and our 50 years ago, my dad was, or more than that, 60 years ago, he understood that, and he offered you a Dairy Queen Sunday if you would unload hay all day. So it was that anticipation that kept us going, and we would look forward to that evening at the Dairy Queen after a long day of unloading hay. And, it made possible the cut fingers from the strings and the scratches and the sweat and the heat of the hay mile. That was okay because we were going to the Dairy Queen at the end of the day. That was anticipation. And we have the Christian hope. It's not just that we hope to make it; it's that we have a confident expectation that we will. And always it's children love to anticipate Christmas presents, birthday presents, and special events, and it makes life fun. And this morning I want to talk about, I've been assigned this subject at another church, and so I want to go to Romans chapter 8, and I would like you to I believe we'll just break in at Romans 8 and verse 15. Verse 18 is the theme verse, though, that we're going to build around in this sermon this morning. And Romans 8:18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." And we went to think about that idea of the revealing. The title of the message is "The Glory That Shall Be Revealed in Us." The glory that shall be revealed in us. And I would like to now read the rest of the text. I'm going to include for the text, mostly it'll be from verse 18. But I believe we'll start in verse 15 of Romans chapter 8. And we'll read that. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit of bondage again to fear. We have not received that, but we have received the spirit of adoption. We are children of God. where we have an Abba Father relationship. We call on Him. We face life, and there's problems in life, and it could bring us into fear and consternation. But we have this Abba Father relationship. Father, help me. Father, guide me. Father, show me what to say. Father, that's what the Abba Father relationship is. And it's special that we can crawl out to God right from our car seat and right from the Walmart and right from our kitchen sink and right from the tractor seat. We can crawl out to God, Abba Father, just help me in this moment. I need some help. We know that's fundamental to success in human experience is when people have a way forward that they can know that the Abba Father, that God is looking down as a father and is giving them what they need. That is a way in which we can be successful in life. Many people are in mental hospitals and under, maybe not so much hospitals anymore, but in treatment for when they have lost hope. And we have, as a Christian, we have that Abba Father relationship. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How about it? Do you know? Do you know that you're a child of God? Does the Spirit bear witness with you? Is it? Can you tell that you are a child of God? That's a good question. Can we know? Here it says the Spirit itself, the Christian, has the Spirit dwelling within him, and they can tell that they're a Christian. It comes by many ways. It comes by a love for him. It comes by worship of him. It comes by obedience to him. But the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and everything, dear ones, this morning, everything that Jesus receives is going to be ours too. We are joint heirs with Christ. What a privilege. What an anticipation. What future glory is that we will be anticipating what Christ and being joint heirs with Christ. But there's a catch. There's a caveat in that. And it's the next phrase. If so be that ye are willing to suffer with him, then ye shall be glorified with him. It's not just a bed of roses here in this life. It is suffering that we can lay claim to glorification and to being joint heirs with Christ. Don't let anybody fool you. The Christian life is a life of suffering. It's a life of conflict. And we need to understand that we are joint heirs with him. And one of the ways in which we can know we are joint heirs with him, if we suffer with him. And that means our natural bent is to love this world. And that means that we say no. We're going to suffer like Jesus did. They hated me. They're going to hate you, he said. And we must suffer with him. So, dear ones, this morning, the prevailing Christianity that is in so much of the world is so wrong. It is glorification. The glory that shall be revealed in us is dependent on our willingness to suffer with Jesus. For I reckon, verse 18 then, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Dear ones, that means that there's thought put into this. Reckon. I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy. We make a comparison between the sufferings and future glory. Somehow we have to have a vision of future glory, of glorification. And we want to look at that this morning. They're not worthy. You know, you put them on a scales, and there's the old scales was a balance scales. And one side there was a tray, and the other side there was a tray. And in this situation, the tray of eternity, the tray is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. All the things, all the pickups, all the cars, all the farms, all the music, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And this morning, you Christians can look forward to the revealing of His glory. And it should supersede our bent to be worldly. It should supersede our bent to be unforgiving. It should supersede our desire to walk after the world and even look like the world. When we are following Christ, we're following God, it draws us away, and there's a bent, it's diametrically opposed to the world, and the scales is tipped in the favor of eternity. And we want to talk about that this morning. Read verse 18 again. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. There's a glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, of we created people, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. We are waiting. We are looking. We are anticipating. We go out every morning and we look into the sky and say, Jesus, are you coming back today? We anticipate that. We are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. What a day that will be. Maybe we'll read about that in 2 Thessalonians after a while. For the creature was made subject to vanity or frustration. I believe that word could be replaced with frustration. Not willingly, by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. We have hope this morning. We have an anticipation of the glory that shall be revealed in us, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We are tired of this world, the bondage of corruption, all the things that are corrupting, bodies decay, clothes gets old, cars rust away, and we are looking forward to the being free from that bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Praise God for that this morning, that we can look forward to the glorious liberty of being joint heirs with Christ and the future glorification. Verse 21, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. This world is in trouble. This world is in trouble because of the curse. Nothing's working out too well. The curse has made it so we have to work. The curse has made it so we don't like each other. The curse has made us take care of this creation that we are given that was pure and pristine. And the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. Dear ones, there's pollution. There's radioactive materials in this world. That's causing cancer. There's all kinds of things going on. But we are tired of it. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. And not only they, verse 23, but ourselves also, which hath the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I ask you, is that true? Is that true? That we are, those of us who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we're groaning. We long. We desire. We're waiting for the adoption to the redemption of our body. We know that we'll have glorified bodies over there. Will not be subject to cancer. Will not be subject to frustration. But we look forward. But here we are groaning. And my friends, this morning I ask you sincerely, are you groaning for the redemption of your body and your soul? Do you look forward to that? Or are you satisfied that here is where I want to be? The world is my home. I'm satisfied here. It's so much fun. The music and the sports and the business, that's fun. And I'm satisfied here. But listen, those who have the first fruits of the Spirit, are groaning for that day that we shall be glorified. And it's going to be revealed in us. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then we with patience Wait for it. There are three things that we can do. According to our text verse, verse 18, that I see, and probably many more, but we can reckon, we can think, we can contemplate our situation. We can make a comparison. The verse says, we compare the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. We can compare present suffering, present Christian life, for that day of glorification. And then finally, we can anticipate that day. The glory of the Lord in the Old Testament was hidden. And I studied that quite a while this morning and last night and yesterday about the hidden glory in the Old Testament. I don't think we'll take that much time with it. But when Moses went up into the mount and a cloud covered the mount, what was that? That was the glory of the Lord. That was the glory of the Lord. And the people couldn't see it. Moses went up one day and he said to God, in Exodus 33 and verse 18, let's go there. Exodus 33 and verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Listen, Moses had seen the glory of God lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. He saw them be released from Egypt in a miraculous deliverance after the killing of the firstborn. He saw them come up to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army, this is consolidating, and Pharaoh's army was behind them. They were thundering down across the desert. And the pillar of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, came and stood between the Egyptians and the Israelites. He had seen that. That was all previous to this. But he said, show me thy glory. Dear ones, today, the passionate request of a man or woman of God is this: show me thy glory. They want to get nearer to God. They want to be more like what God wants them to be. They want to be in the trail of God's glory. Oh, today, the man of God will not get hung up on details about serving God, but they'll be just totally surrendered and committed to the Lord. To God. His passion will be drawn into a, that person's passion will be drawn into a life that diverges from the world more and more. As time and life goes by, he is drawn more and more toward the holiness of God, more into his love, more into appreciation for his grace, and more into separation from the world. He therefore demonstrates in his life a character that is more godlike in all areas of life. He stands out in the crowded world of passions, yearning for the latest style, the current music, the philosophy that saturates the internet, and the podcasts that are on the internet. Worldly success, upward mobility. He stands out. That kind of a man that is saying, "Show me thy glory," will slow down and help the decrepit neighbor. He will return good for evil. He will forgive those who have wronged him. He will not be affected by the dress and styles that bombard his holy sense of reverence for God. Moses was not allowed to see God's face. It was kept from even Moses. He couldn't see God's face. But listen today. We will see his face. The glory that shall be revealed in us is complete familiarity with Jesus, our joint heir. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 3, verse 13 through 18. We remember that Moses, the glory of Moses, glory of God shone on Moses' face so that the children of Israel couldn't look at the face of Moses, and he had to veil his face. Verse 13 takes that up in a New Testament commentary on that. And it says, "But not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil taken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil was done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Listen this morning. I humbly ask you, have you looked into the face of Jesus Christ? If you do, you will be changed from glory of this world to the glory of Jesus Christ. What a privilege. What a thought is to take us from our affections being worldly and the glory of the world to the glory of Jesus Christ. It is only through Jesus that we can behold the revealed glory of God. I would like to look at three keys in our text verse, verse 18. Reckon. Three keys to the revealed glory of God. We reckon. We think. We count, we conclude, we reckon. Listen today, if you're here, You have read the obituaries in the paper. You have seen them on the internet. You know that we last 70 or 80 years, and then it's all over. You know that. You can think about that. And we know that there is something after death. Ecclesiastes said, "He has set the world in our hearts." There's a vanishing point, is what that means. That the life here is extinguished. God has a purpose for your life. He understands this purpose completely. We do not know. It is an empty and useless to put your faith in the glories of this world, the decay and rust, and lose their value when there is glory that is for eternity. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, they're no deal at all. You talk about the deal of a lifetime. I've been a farmer all my life, and I've always enjoyed dealing, buying new machinery. You think you got a deal. Bought this tractor, this Caldermaster, you got a deal. And I've always enjoyed that. But the deal of a lifetime, dear ones, is this. Trading present sufferings for the glory which shall be revealed in us. Secondly, I'd like to look at comparing present suffering versus future glory, much the same. Comparison is examination of two entities to make a determination. We do that all the time. We decide to have an Android or an Apple phone, and we argue about the merits of either one. We buy John Deere's or Fendt's or Ford's or Massey's. We make a determination. We buy a Bernino or a Pfaff. What kind of sewing machine? We make a determination. It takes intelligence to make a determination. And this morning, everyone here under the sound of my voice is intelligent enough to make the determination between the sufferings of this world and the glory that shall be revealed in us. Our present existence seems so important and real, our present life. We get into all kinds of trouble. Our business goes bad. Our health fails. We get old. Our friends have turned against us. And the world hates us and scoffs at us. But we have this glory that shall be revealed, that is not worthy to be compared. A couple examples of that be Joseph. Joseph was hated by his brothers. He was thrown into a pit. They conspired against him to slay him. Some of the brothers said, "Kill him." Some of the brothers said, "Sell him." And ultimately, he got thrown into the pit. And I think Joseph understood this truth, that the glory that shall be revealed, he could see into the sky, and up there somewhere was glory. And he said, it's worth it. It's worth it. He got pulled away by the Ishmaelites. No doubt the ropes cutting into his wrists or his hands. And he looked up again and said, it's worth it. You know, that's a brutal scene. Joseph's brothers casually sat on feed buckets and ate their sandwiches. They saw on the horizon a group of Ishmaelites traders coming, and they pulled Joseph up out of the pit and sold him for 20 pieces of silver. Well, no doubt, it says in Genesis 42:21, the brothers saw the anguish of his soul, and he besought them, but they would not hear. He saw the glory that shall be revealed. The Apostle Paul said this, I've been whipped. I've worked night and day. I went to prison often. The Jews whipped me 40 stripes, save one, 5 times. Thrice I was beaten with rods while I laid there on the street. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. And I was out in the deep, out in the ocean. I've had robbers attack me and take my wallet. I had perils of the heathen, perils of the city, and perils of the wilderness. The reason he did that was the glory that shall be revealed in him. Suffering for your faith is the key to being glorified with Christ. I'd like to look just a few minutes at the anticipation of the glory. We can visualize glory. Can you see Jesus there? In your mind's eye, with your intellect and the knowledge of the scriptures, you can visualize Jesus in glory, anticipating giving you glory. Sometimes we get so upset. A friend that has betrayed us, a church member that hasn't forgiven us, or even a church that divides. Walking with him in holiness will get us there, the glory that shall be revealed. We will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Oh, isn't that, you know, I'm getting to the point where I see corruption in my body. I already had one stroke, and everybody knows I walk a little funny. Eyesight isn't like it used to be, and definitely the hearing isn't like it used to be. The world is a place of death, sickness, and tragedy that brings death. It's a place of polluted water and soil. decaying and cancer-ridden bodies from which we cannot escape. We are in bondage to the corruption, but we anticipate the glorious liberty and the freedom from diabetes, heart disease, the COVID, the flu, the declining eyesight, the weakening muscles, and freedom from the tears of sorrow of a wife in the casket, a child tragically killed, a grandchild that is taken by the mistake-prone world in which we live. We anticipate the revealed glory of God. One day soon, Jesus is coming back. And he's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. And at the same time, he is coming to be glorified in his saints, to be admired of all them that believe. Do you look forward to that day? Can you smile and admire his second coming? John says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear," look, get this, "that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In his own nature of holiness, we will see him. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as Jesus is pure." What more can be said than that? Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. There's a glory that shall be revealed in us. It's anticipated by the Christian. We long for it. It frees us from this corrupted world and these decaying bodies. And it will be revealed. The glory that shall be revealed in us. May we all live in the realities of the glory that shall be revealed in us. It's not worthy to be compared to anything that goes on down here, but it's to be with Jesus.